This morning we're looking at one of the core areas in Four Square Tenets of Faith. If you have passed through the membership class, I'm sure you'll remember this. It is the church relationship. So what we're going to be doing this month, whoever comes here, next Sunday I'm still going to be sharing with us. But whoever comes here, it's going to be like teaching Sunday and Tuesday, church relationship. And also we have civil relationship, relationship with the church, relationship with the government, the civil society, or the environment around us. And so in church relationship, when I talk about our tenets, we're talking about those core things that we, Foursquare, hold strongly onto. And I would always say it, if you go to the membership class and they ask you, what is Foursquare? So Foursquare is word used to define balance, to define universality, to define solidity. Foursquare. So what is the Foursquare message? The message about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord, the Savior, baptizer with the Holy Ghost and power, the healer, the coming King. It's also the message that is solid, that is balanced, that is sound, and so on. And that's why I would always say it, that I am glad that I belong to this kind of movement that is balanced in all that we do. Balanced in the word, balanced in prayer. Then somebody may ask the question, but more so when we have sometimes some messages, I say, no, when you come to pray, just go ahead and thank God for everything and that's it, nothing more. And I say, that is not enough. The lady I told this story, if she had been balanced in her prayer, and she is sensitive to the voice and the move of the Holy Spirit. When somebody gets up and says to you, I dreamt about death on a marriage day, a wedding day, you should have known something is wrong. That God is saying, stand up. Stand up and rebuke. Stand up and dismantle. Stand up and fight. It is a fight. Sometimes we fight a fight in prayer. Praise God. Sometimes we fight. Jesus said, pray all manner of prayers. I was sharing with Mama yesterday. Was it yesterday? 2 days ago. I said, listen here. When it comes to prayer, even look at the lesson that Jesus taught his disciples on prayer. In Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, who art in heaven. If you sit down to analyze that prayer, say there are various prayers contained there. Our Father who art in heaven. You start with thanksgiving. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. With our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then you worship him. And then you begin to pray. Supplication. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth. And then he goes down to say, well, deliver us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Prayer of deliverance. And so on and so forth. I'm still going to be talking on that. Church relationship. In Foursquare Church, and that is the way that it should be, biblically, we believe that having accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and King, and that is at the point of your being born again. You're born again when you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and King. And then a new nature takes over. The old nature, the nature of sin, the nature of self, the nature of the flesh. And that's why in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17, you will hear that, and therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, a new creature, all things have passed away. And all things have become new. When I'm born again, accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, a new nature, new experience, new life, new everything. And because of the change, those maybe who have been your friends and so on, they now see you and say, what is that happened to Lawrence Amaja? This is not. Together we used to do all these kind of things, but he's different now. Christ makes the difference in us. Praise God. Like he has made in your life. Christ makes the difference. So we believe that upon experiencing this spiritual difference, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's not enough. I am born again. You need to grow. And you don't grow in isolation. You don't grow in isolation. So that's why we say we believe that having accepted him as a Lord and King, and having thus been born into the family and the invisible body of Christ, invisible body or church of the Lord. Now, it's talking about the invisible body here. What do we mean by that? What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about having been born into the invisible body of Christ. What's he talking about here? He won't help me. Those four square people here. And having been born into the invisible body of the church or of Christ. Okay, Pastor.
We talk about the local church and then we talk of invisible church. Invisible, you know, that is the church universe. As long as you're born, you know, you give your life to Christ, you belong to that family. And that is where we are born again into that community, that invisible family of Christ Jesus.
This is a spiritual thing now. Amen. You don't see Jesus with your physical eyes. You don't see God with your physical eyes. But the very day that you had the word of God and you moved, and then possibly you cried, I'm accepting Jesus. You're not seeing Jesus here, but you're accepting him, right? And then Jesus that you accept opens his hand and takes you unto himself. Even taking you unto himself there, you still don't see him. But you are born into that invisible body where all the other spirit people who have been born again, who have accepted Jesus, all of them, the same thing, the same life, where their lives and everything is transformed. And like he says, we have the church universal. That is the church of Jesus all over the world, wherever they are. All believers everywhere in Nigeria, in America, in Congo, in everywhere, wherever they are, they belong to the universal church. Born again, people of God. There's a local church where we are. Amen. There's a local church where we are. And then there is the triumphant church. Praise God. The triumphant church is made up of Christians who have been born again, who belong to Christ, and who have walked here, and at the end here, they have gone back home to be with the Lord. That is the church triumphant. So we say, upon having this new and fresh spiritual experience of being taken into the body, invisible body of Christ, you also, it is very, very important that you find a visible, if you have been born into the invisible body. You know, it's very important that you identify with a visible. Amen? Something that has happened to you inwardly, invisibly, now has to manifest. That it is very important it is the sacred duty of the believer, born again, Christian, follower of Jesus, to identify himself with a living church. Praise God. On Tuesday, I'm going to define, in fact, actually, the teaching I'm doing on Tuesday is centered on church, the symbolism of the church. Those things that, please don't miss any of these Tuesdays. If you have not been coming to Bible study, come. Pay the price, come and learn, come and know more. I'm doing this study and I'm being blessed. I'm going to be talking about the church of Jesus. It is the sacred duty. It is a spiritual duty and responsibility required of the Christian to identify with a living church. So if there is a living church, therefore it would mean, or it means that there is a dead church, or there are dead churches. Is that right? Is that right? If there is a living church, so which one is the living church? The living church is the church, the gathering place. The gathering place where Christ is well and properly represented. Where people gather to do nothing but the will of God, not the will of man. There are several places where people gather. What they want to do is their own will. Teach the word. I met a lady recently, a quality lady, and we began to talk. I introduced myself as a Foursquare pastor and all that. She said, wow, Foursquare. I used to be a Foursquare person in Nigeria. I was an usher. I was interested in the work and the place she called. I know her pastor. I know the church. I know everything. She said, you can call them and ask about me. I said, but when I came to America, genuinely and legally here, I began to look for where to worship. And she said, I got a church. When I got to the church, the pastor, seeing the kind of person I am, said to me, you are the one to be paying the rent of this church. That's why you must be happy with the kind of place you belong to. I have never here said, I am tasking you, go and get 1,000, go and get 2,000. It must be done. She said, well, since the pastor has said, I began to do it, to pay the rent. I began to pay because I was earning well. And then she said, the only month I did not pay, the man came to me and said, you didn't pay the rent. It's your duty here to pay it. If you don't pay it, things will not go well for you. Praise God. He said, what? He said, the man began to harass her. And he said, the money is my own. I'm the one working. Is it by force? The following month, she didn't pay. Actually, that she stopped going. And the man said, if you don't come back and do your duty here, you are going to suffer for it. And she said, and actually that the man's pronouncement worked. She said at that time she was involved in an accident and her car was a total wreck. Praise God. We're talking about living church. And non-living church. If I were one of those kind of pastors, all these ones I'm talking about, go and bring money for, I would have said, hey, you must bring this. You must. And then the lady said, because of all that, and that she almost died in the accident, she said, decided that for over 1 year, he decided, I'm not going to any church. If all I struggle for is the thing that will kill me. And then we began to talk. I said, listen, we are different. What you are, I'm talking about is call Foursquare. I said, also call those your pastors in Nigeria. Ask them about me, Amajo. They will tell you. I said, call them and ask them in Lagos. And when we struck a deal, and she said, okay, I'm coming. She would have been there maybe 2 or 3 Sundays ago. She said, okay, I'm coming. I will come because I see you as a genuine person. Praise God. I sent her a long text. In fact, that Sunday, that very Sunday woman, she called me. And I told Mama, I said, look at the person. And then, I think maybe a day or two to the day she was to come here. She was actually to be in the service of grace. She said, my family is fighting me. Said, my family is saying, you have found another pastor that will take all your money and steal your money and also pray so that you will die. And she said to me, I'm sorry. I will not be able to come, at least for now. Let me sort it out with my family. And the family in Nigeria. He said, back there in Nigeria, that the family gathered like 10 people, 10 pastors who were praying for her. And even those ones, she said, since then, I used to send my tithe back home to Nigeria to those pastors who are praying for me. And now those pastors, they now told those pastors who are praying for her, those say, again, who tells you? We are here praying for you. How do you want to look for another pastor? We're talking about living church and non-living church. I used to tell people, you don't pay for going for counsel. It doesn't cost you money. I think I told the story here of a young lady, one of the churches we pastored. Beautiful lady, well-educated, master's degree, a bank manager, no husband. We got to that place when we resumed in that church. We're still new. One day she came with a paper written, red candle, black candle, 50,000 naira. At that time, everything. She said, pastor, confirm this. This is me. I've no husband. A friend took me to somewhere and they wrote all this for me. At the moment I do all this, I will get married. Instead of confirming, what did I do in her presence? I tore those papers into pieces. Any genuine person that will pray for you to be born, to get your miracle does not need to charge you money. Jesus did not charge you money to die for you. Right? Right? He didn't charge you money to die for you. We tore those papers and threw them away. I said, listen, get out of, run away from that friend who is taking you to this kind of place. We began to pray. Not how many months. One fine young man from nowhere came and said, I want to marry her. I joined them in marriage. Praise God. We're talking about living church upon you. Having accepted Jesus, born into the invisible family of God, must identify with the visible body of Jesus Christ. Belong to a living church. Of course, you must know there's a difference between church and fellowship. Right? Right? It's a difference between church, the church that Jesus built, and fellowship. So, what are the benefits of belonging to a church? It's your required spiritual duty. Identify himself with a living church. Number one, thank God you are in this kind of place. You identified your place with this kind of place. There is a duty. There is a responsibility. Why has God brought us all together here? And of course, in Hebrews chapter 10, from 24, it said, do not neglect or forsake the assembling together of the brethren. Don't neglect it. And don't allow anything to separate you from going to worship God in a living place. Our church is a living church. And I'm sure you all testify to that. I think since I started pastoring, what do? I just come. Listen here, people, this is, I need $10 million to buy that place for God. And we need it between now and the next 6 months. This is what God has said to me. And I leave it there. And we pray. That has always been my experience. By the time you know, people are bringing the money. People are bringing the money. And we get the money to go and buy that place. I don't say to you, come and give me $10,000. Come and give me. I don't do that. I don't do that. I want you to go and pray. And let God speak to you. Let God speak to you. So one reason why God has brought us together here is to build up his kingdom and his church. Praise God. We believe as you belong, you must be part of those that labor most earnestly. Labor most earnestly. There's a difference between work and labor. Right? Labor is even harder than work. Is that right? Labor is harder. God is looking for people that will really labor for him. Who are ready to take responsibility and accept challenges and do exploits for him. That upon being born again, identify and labor with all your life. Labor takes all your strength. Labor takes all your strength. Labor takes everything of you. Labor costs you something. It's possible you go to work today and come back and you don't feel like you have gone to any work. Those that sit in the office and write, their work is different from those people that dig gutter there. Praise God. Labor most earnestly for the upbuilding of God's kingdom. Remember, whatever good you do here in the church, whatever life you impact, whatever brother you bless, whatever sister you bless, whatever brother you show love, whatever sister you show love, you are doing it for the kingdom. Praise God. Jesus said, I was sick and you visited me. I was hungry and you fed me. And he was talking about those, I was, and you did, and you did. And then they asked him, he said, Master, but when did we see you sick or hungry, and we fed you and all that? I said, for as long as you did it unto all those people, you did it for me. Praise God. So this is why people in the church of Jesus must recognize that whatsoever thing that you do, you are doing it for God and not for man. Whatsoever thing it is, it's not today when people are forced and everything, and it would appear as if you are doing it for that pastor, you are doing it for that brother. No, no, no. Whatever thing, say, we are brought together to labor most earnestly. Sometimes bringing your money is not easy. Spending from your salary, sometimes it is not easy. I called Pierce and G 3 days ago. And I said, you keep giving me $330-something every month for bill? Why? Because it's not easy, right? It's not easy. There are some people you give $500, they just go and pay it. Why give me $300-something every month? What am I using? It's not a whole house. To labor most earnestly. The building of God's kingdom. Church relationship I'm talking about. So what is relationship? Talking about affiliation, identification. With a living church, a living congregation. Tuesday I'm going to give a true definition of church. Ecclesia. And then together we are building. So that's why I say sometimes you sit down and ask yourself, how am I contributing to the building of God's church and kingdom? With the visible church upon the earth. And that such visible church is a congregation. This is where church is defined here, but on Tuesday I'm going to give a more definition. He said the church is a congregation of believers who have associated themselves together in Christian fellowship and in the unity of the Spirit. Why are we gathering together? We believe it is for Christian fellowship. Who is the Christian? The one that is like Jesus, that is like Christ. Praise God. Who is the Christian? Do we believe that believers together, that everyone seated here should be like Christ? Amen. And so that's why sometimes this brother has done something that you're not happy with. You get so upset, so angry. And people can see that, visibly see that you are angry. And then I ask myself, am I being like Christ? I was doing a teaching some two Saturdays ago at the retreat camp. And I said, the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us to live the way Jesus will live, to do the things the way Jesus will do it, and to say things the way Jesus. Who is the Christian? The one that is like Christ. Praise God. The one that is like Christ. So, when somebody has offended me or said something that hurts me, that I don't like inside this church, and I begin to react very visibly, and then I ask myself, am I being like Christ? Am I being like Christ? Is that the way Jesus would have reacted? Much more so when you get to the point that in a church, maybe Alagba said, I'm not going to talk to this brother because he offended me. And they don't talk to themselves. I have seen it. If there's anybody, I think I said it here. One choir, years ago I was a choir master. In my own choir, two people that sit like this, they live in one compound. This is person's room, and then that person's room. These two ladies, they sit like this. They sing treble in my choir. They don't talk to themselves. And then we'll sing, and they will sing so very well, carry those choir files beautifully. That's the way we taught our choir people to carry the files. And they will sing, but they don't talk to themselves. They were so much in enmity that if this person fight them, they can hit themselves there. So one Sunday, after service, I said to them, you're not going home today. Let's talk. Because I came to know. And then we talked and talked and talked and talked in the same church, on the same choir, treble seat and everything. After all the talk, I thought it was over. Say sorry to, and the sister said sorry. This one said sorry. Give yourself a hug. And they gave themselves a hug. And I said, sister, tell me, if you get back home now, and this sister cooks a plate of beautiful rice and brings to you to eat, what would you do? She said, God forbid. And that was the way she did. God, Olorunmaje. To fear kwa. That means, Pastor, you have not even gone anywhere at all. And yet we are. Is that a living Christian? You know, we have living Christians, dead Christians. Just like we have living church and non-living church. Praise God. We come together for fellowship in the unity of the Spirit, united in every way. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, there would have been no Pentecost. There would have been no move of and flow of power. There would have been nothing if the people were not united. Right? He said they were together in the unity of the Spirit. They were of the same mind, praying and waiting, and suddenly there was that visitation. And they experienced Pentecost. Okay. It's a place we come together to worship God in the beauty of holiness. And then he says, speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, reading and proclaiming his word. Hymn psalms and spiritual hymns simply means talking to each other and relating with each other in love. In love. Praise God. In love. Love your brother. Love your sister. We love ourselves. It's not a place where we're not open to ourselves. It's not a place where we're not telling ourselves the truth. So if there is anybody sitting down here, you have to be a living Christian. And if there's anybody right in here, you think, I don't talk with this person. I don't make it right today. Make it right. We believe that the living church of God, the people in that living church, the congregation of believers must be living Christians. Living Christians. Okay. Let's quickly go. There's so much to say there. Well, we need to look at that. I got a place that says, the church is the church of Jesus Christ. If you go down to Matthew 16, where Jesus was saying, upon this rock I'll build my church. Foursquare Church is just, that name Foursquare is just an identification mark. Redeemed Christian Church of God is an identification mark. Mountain of Fire is an identification mark. People, the church is the church of who? The church of who? Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus. And that's why Jesus was talking. He said, and I will build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against her. And then he goes down to say, and I will give to you the keys to the kingdom. So he wants his church to be the church of power. The church of victory. I'll build my church. And I said, because it is the church of Jesus, it should be treated with reverence for God. Praise God. It should be treated with reverence. The next. The Lord Jesus loved the church and gave himself for this church. Ephesians chapter 5. Quickly, verse 25. Ephesians 5:25. Can you read it quickly if you see it? Quickly. Are you reading it? Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. Praise God. Christ so loved the church that he gave himself for the church. Therefore, it must be treated with honor. The church of Jesus must be respected because Jesus calls it my Father's house. Praise God. John chapter 2. Quickly, 13 to 16, and I'm going to round up. There are lots of scriptures to read there, but let's go quickly. John chapter 2, 13 to 16, very quickly. John 2, 13 to 16. Mm-hmm. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Listen to this. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers sitting. Jesus drove them all out. And the sheep and the oxen. Mm-hmm. Yes. Listen to this. Listen to this. And he said unto all of them that sold and do all kinds of things in his Father's house, take these things away from here. Don't make my Father's house a house of buying and selling. Uh-huh. Thank you. I think King James, I would say my father's house is the house of prayer. Praise God. And Jesus drove them away. You don't do just all sort of things. The house of, the church of Jesus, we believe, is a church that should be treated with reverence. We're talking about church relationship. The scriptures I have here would have told us some more things, but please don't miss Tuesday. Praise God. Church relationship. Identify. Be part of it. Build up the kingdom. Edify one another. Be a blessing to God and to one another and to the kingdom. That's why God has brought us together. Why don't you rise and say, God, grant me the grace to really be fully part of your church that will build up the kingdom and glorify your name in everything that I do. Okay, go ahead and talk to God right now.